And here we are, it's Monday, February 12th, and we are studying the Kingdom of God. And this is the 14th study session, and there's going to be a lot more. This is a very deep and a very broad topic, and however long it takes, we just want to learn all we can about it and make sure that we get it. That's the most important thing. And last week, we read about Jehoshaphat, and it was delightful to read about a king that really loved God, that walked with God, that did things that were right, like his father David before him did. And one of the things that he did that was so great is he sent the Levites to all the cities of Judah to teach the people the law, the word of God, so that they would know it. And not all the kings did that. There are some kings that ignored the law entirely and made their own laws. But Jehoshaphat wanted to make sure that the people knew and understood the law of God. And he got rid of the high places and the groves, and he did what was right before God. But he did make a couple of mistakes that we saw. Even though he personally himself loved God and walked with God, not everybody around him did. Ahab was the king of the northern kingdom at the time and had married Jezebel, who was from Zidon and a Baal worshiper, and she got Ahab and all the people of Israel worshiping Baal, at least until Elijah the prophet came and did that big showdown. Then all the people said, "The Lord, he is God," when they saw the fire of God come down and burn up the sacrifice. But still, the Baal worship persisted, especially with the queen herself. She never stopped worshiping Baal. But Jehoshaphat, who loved God and did so well, had his son, Jehoram, marry the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And her name was Athaliah. And Jehoram started to reign alongside Jehoshaphat for a couple of years. But when Jehoshaphat died, then Jehoram took over. And we want to take a look at some of the things that he did. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 31. It kind of summarizes the life of Jehoshaphat and mentions one other thing that he did. Verse 31 says, "And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord." So personally, he always did what was right before God. "Howbeit, the high places were not taken away." Now, we read in chapter 17 that he took away the high places and the groves, but here it says the high places were not taken away. One or two things. Either he commanded the high places to be taken away, and it wasn't actually done, or another possibility that some of the high places were taken away, but not all of them, or that they were all taken away, but people secretly started erecting more of them. So these were places usually on a hill with some kind of platform and an altar where people would burn incense and do sacrifices to other gods. Now, it gives an explanation as for why it says, "For as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers." So even though Jehoshaphat sent the Levites to teach in every city, it says the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. And that just goes to show you that the Word of God can be taught, but that teaching has to be received by the individuals that hear it taught. How many people have taken classes or sat through fellowships or gone to churches and heard the Word taught and never really internalized it themselves? They can sit through a teaching and, you know, wait for it to be over so that they can have the snacks afterwards. Or they can listen to that teaching and then go to the Word of God and look everything up themselves, make sure that they understand it, like they did in Berea in Acts 17, that when Paul came and preached and taught the Word of God, that they went to the Word of God themselves. They searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were really so, and therefore many of them believed. Even so, some of them did not believe, because there's always that choice of, is a person going to listen so that they actually hear what's being taught? Will they understand what's being taught? And then do they make the decision to believe what's being taught? And then will they act upon what they've heard? So there's a lot of variables because people have free will. So the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers, and that's why the high places were not taken away. So either there remained some, or they built more of them. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last of all, they're written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, was one of the prophets that had reproved Jehoshaphat at one point. Now, verse 35, after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. Ahaziah was son of Ahab. Remember, Ahab was killed in battle, because one thing that Jehoshaphat did that he got reproved for was he went to battle, joining forces with Ahab, so Judah and Israel were fighting together. Jehoshaphat almost was killed in that battle because they were fighting against Syria, and the king of Syria told his captains, don't fight with anybody except with the king of Israel. And they saw Jehoshaphat in his royal robes, and they thought it was the king of Israel, so they started circling him, and then Jehoshaphat cried unto God, and God helped them, and they realized it wasn't the king of Israel, and they left. But the actual king of Israel, Ahab, who was disguised as a regular soldier, he was shot by an arrow, and he died in that battle. So his son Ahaziah became king over Israel, but he only lasted, I think, 2 years, and he was killed. But it says in the 2 years that he was alive, it says he joined himself with him. So Jehoshaphat joined himself with Ahaziah to make ships to go to Tarshish, and the purpose would be to get gold and bring it back to their kingdoms. And they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavah of Marishah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. And the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. So, three things that Jehoshaphat did in joining forces with the ungodly people of Israel. He let his son marry the daughter of the wicked king and queen. So joined in marriage. He joined forces in battle with Ahab. And then they had a joint business venture with Jehoshaphat and the king of Israel, Ahab's son. And all three of them went badly. We'll find out about how the marriage went shortly. So in chapter 21, verse 1, it says, now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. He was the son of Jehoshaphat, but he was the husband of this Athaliah, who was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Verse 2 says, and he had brethren, brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jael, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, Shephatiah, all these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold and precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now, when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword. He killed them. He had them murdered. His brothers. He had them killed. And divers also of the princes of Israel. He had them killed. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. So they started Baal worship in Judah now. That had gone on with Ahab and Jezebel. Now it's in Judah because Ahab's daughter's his wife. Howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. Then it talks about the Edomites revolting. But let's skip down to verse 11. It says, moreover, he made high places. He himself made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compelled Judah thereto. So he made them, he caused them to commit fornication. And that has to do with idolatry, the worshiping of idols, because Baal worship involved fertility stuff. And there was sex involved with prostitutes, both male and female. And it was just something that was disgusting to God. So when he calls it fornication, when he calls idolatry fornication, there was actual fornication many times taking place in their ceremonies, in their rituals. And it was just an abomination to God. And he compelled Judah. And that word compelled, it has the meaning to thrust or drive away. He drove the people away from doing the will of God by compelling them to do these other things that God hated. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods, and thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out, by reason of the sickness day by day." That was not a very pleasant writing to receive. And Elijah, this chronologically is after the time that Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind into heaven in the fiery chariot of God that Elisha had witnessed. It's after that time. So one or two things. Either Elijah wrote this before that time, and that writing was sealed and then given to the king after these things took place, or Elijah is still alive, but somewhere else, because remember, after he went up with the whirlwind into heaven, Elisha witnessed that. Now, he took the mantle of Elijah and he wore it after that point. And the other sons of the prophets that said, "Can we go look for the body of Elijah?" It may be that God took him and cast him down somewhere else. And they looked for 3 days and never found him. So Elijah was never found, but that doesn't mean he was not alive anymore. It's very likely that God just took him and put him in another place, and he went into retirement. So he's no longer the prophet to speak to the kings of Israel anymore. Elisha was doing that at this point. And that makes more sense to me, that Elijah would have this written after these things occurred, because he's addressing the things that King Jehoram had done, rather than writing in advance before he would actually do those things. But Jehoram did these things by his own free will. I'm sure there was an influence, and very likely the influence of his wife. But above that, or behind it all, would be the influence of the devil, the adversary. Because what did he do? He murdered his brothers that were all sons of David. Okay? Who's the murderer from the beginning? What did Jesus Christ say about the devil in John chapter 8, verse 44? Just take a little side trip here. John 8:44, Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees who were giving him such a hard time. And he told them, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So that murder influence, Jehoshaphat, who was a good king, his own son was influenced to murder his own brothers. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 21, and we'll keep reading there. So he got that reproof from Elijah the prophet, and who told him how he was going to die, and it wasn't pleasant. And verse 16 says, "Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah and brake into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also." So Jehoram's sons were taken away by the Philistines, Arabians, and Ethiopians. Elijah, in his writing, had mentioned that would happen, right? That with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods. Well, this happened. So they came in, they took all his goods, they took his wives, they took his sons, and it says, "So that there was never a son left him save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons." So they missed one. So he still had one left. "And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in process of time, After the end of 2 full years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness, so he died of sore diseases. And his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. None of the people liked him. They saw what he was doing, and they saw that he was just a bad guy. So they didn't mourn at his death. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and departed without being desired. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchres of the kings. They didn't allow him to go in the same sepulchres as Jehoshaphat and Asa and those before him that loved God. And chapter 22, verse 1, it says, "And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead." Now, we read in the last chapter that his son was named Jehoahaz, okay? That when the Arabians and Philistines and Ethiopians came, it says they took all his sons, so there was never a son left him save Jehoahaz. Well, Jehoahaz was also named Azariah and Ahaziah. The meanings of the names are the same, and they mean Jehovah has seized, like God grabbed him. So his name was also Ahaziah, and sometimes it's spelled Azariah, but it's talking about the same one, okay? When you're reading about the kings of Judah in Israel, it can be confusing because sometimes one person will have more than one name. In this case, he had three different names, but it's the same person. You can also have two different people with the same name. So keeping it straight can be a challenge sometimes. But the people that were alive at the time, they also had to keep it straight. Anyway, let's read 22:1 again. "And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah," which is also Jehoahaz or Azariah, "his youngest son, king in his stead, for the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the eldest." So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year, just 1 year, in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. Omri was actually her grandfather, the father of Ahab. But Omri was the first in that succession of kings. It was Omri, Ahab, and then Ahab's son. He had two sons that sat on the throne because one got killed right away and the other one took over for him. He had, I think, over 70 sons altogether, but two that reigned. But it says Athaliah was the daughter of Omri. It's really the granddaughter of Omri. "And he," Ahaziah, "walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly," to do things that were wrong, that were bad. "Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction." See, now we're seeing the consequences of good King Jehoshaphat allowing his son to marry bad King Ahab's daughter. This is what's coming. And it gets worse. "He walked also after their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead. And the Syrians smote Jehoram." Now, Ahaziah's father was named Jehoram, okay? But Ahab in Israel also had a son named Jehoram that became king. So there's two Jehorams. It's kind of crazy, but there was Jehoram, son of Ahab, and Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat. And then Jehoram's of Jehoshaphat's son is Ahaziah, also called Jehoahaz or Azariah. But anyway, Ahaziah joined forces with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Syria. And the Syrians smote Joram, that's Jehoram, the son of Ahab, okay? And he returned to be healed in Jezreel because of the wounds which were given him at Ramah, where he was fighting against the Syrians when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, he went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, at Jezreel because he was sick. He was wounded and he was sick. "And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God." Again, it's spelled Ahaziah here instead of Azariah, but it's still talking about king of Judah. "By coming to Joram, the king of Israel. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab." Jehu, the son of Nimshi. Remember when Elijah the prophet walked 40 days into the wilderness and went to Horeb, the mount of God, and God told him to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and to anoint Elisha to be prophet in his room, and to anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. Okay? Elijah had Elisha send one of the younger prophets, actually, to anoint Jehu to be king of Israel. And Jehu took his job very seriously. He knew that he was supposed to get rid of the whole family of Ahab, and he was very zealous to do that. Unfortunately, he had no zeal afterwards to obey the law of God. He still worshipped the golden calves that Jeroboam did. But Jehu went on a rampage against the family of Ahab. And this Jehoram, one of the sons of Ahab that was reigning in his place, Jehu killed him. Ahaziah, or Azariah, Jehoahaz, he had gone to visit Joram at that time, and he got killed by Jehu. Because it came to pass when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab in verse 8, and found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them. And he sought Ahaziah, and they caught him, for he was hid in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu, and when they had slain him, they buried him. Because, said they, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep still the kingdom. So now the king's dead. So verse 10, but when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. This is the queen mother. This was the wife of Jehoram, the mother of Ahaziah. And she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. Anyone that would be a descendant of David, that would be a legitimate heir to the throne, she had them killed. And when I read this, I think, you know, the adversary is behind this stuff. Because he had that promise of God that the seed of the woman was going to crush his head someday. So he's watching things and he's trying to make it so it can't come to pass. But he saw that it was through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and through David. God made a promise to David that the Messiah would come from him. So what's he trying to do? Get rid of all the descendants of David. If he can get rid of all the descendants of David, then it can't happen the way God said it was going to happen. And just maybe, maybe he'd be spared of it all. But God had told the serpent, remember, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. So no matter what the devil would try to do, it was always unsuccessful. Even might have looked good in the short term to him, but ultimately always unsuccessful. He's always defeated. So this Athaliah, she slew all the royal seed of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah. He was just a little baby at this time, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so that she slew him not. So this was the little baby boy's aunt, okay? It was the daughter of Jehoram. Ahaziah was her brother. And Ahaziah got killed by Jehu, the son of Nimshi. Then Athaliah is killing all the seed of David. But she takes little baby Joash, who's I think maybe a year old, if that, at this time, and she hides him. So Athaliah does not know that there's one son that is remaining. Verse 12 says, and he was with them hid in the house of God 6 years. And apparently, in a place where Athaliah didn't look for him. But she was a Baal worshiper. They had built a house of Baal, so she's not even going into the house of God, so it was a good place to hide the baby. So he was there 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. And this is like the Wicked Witch of the West. She murdered everyone that would be competition to her authority. So let's go to chapter 23, verse 1. And in the 7th year, Jehoiada strengthened himself. Jehoiada is the high priest, and he's a good man, okay? Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds, Azariah, the son of Jeroham, and all these other guys, into covenant with him. And they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah and the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord hath said of the sons of David. So little Joash is 7 years old at this time, and they're going to make him king. This is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you entering on the Sabbath of the priests and of the Levites shall be porters of the doors. It means you're going to guard the gates, make sure no one gets in that's not supposed to get in. Tight security here. And a third part shall be at the king's house, and a third part at the gate of the foundation, and all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. But let none come into the house of the Lord save the priests and they that minister of the Levites. They shall go in, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall come past the king round about. They'll surround him very tightly, every man with his weapons in his hand. And whosoever else cometh into the house, he shall be put to death. But be ye with the king when he cometh in and when he goeth out. So wherever the king goes, he's surrounded by these guys with weapons. Why? Because of the queen. So the Levites and all Judah did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men that were come in on the Sabbath with them that were to go out on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest dismissed not the courses. Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of hundreds spears and bucklers and shields, so they had weapons that had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And he set all the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar, and the temple by the king round about. Then they brought out the king's son, and put upon him the crown, and gave him the testimony, and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him, and said, God save the king. Now, when Athaliah heard, that's the wicked queen, when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets, also the singers with instruments of music, and such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah wrenched her clothes and said, Treason! Treason! Then Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds that were set over the host, and said unto them, Have her forth of the ranges, means get her outside of the temple grounds. And whoso followeth her, let him be slain with the sword. For the priest said, Slay her not in the house of the Lord. So they laid hands on her. They arrested the queen. And when she was come to the entering of the horse gate by the king's house, they slew her there. Finally, the wicked witch at last is dead. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people, Jehovah's people, the people of the true God, made a covenant. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down and break his altars and his images in pieces and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. So they got rid of the Baal worship that Athaliah had brought in there. Also, Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. So he said, we're going to start doing things by the word of God now going forward. We're going to obey the law and the things that David had set up the way it should be done in the temple. And he set the porters at the gates of the house of the Lord, that none which was unclean in anything should enter in. And he took the captains of hundreds, and the nobles, and the governors of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought down the king from the house of the Lord. And they came through the high gate into the king's house, and set the king upon the throne of the kingdom. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after they had slain Athaliah with the sword. Now, let's see how little Joash did. Verse 1 of chapter 24 says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now, there's a little foreboding there saying, well, what happens after Jehoiada the priest died? We'll have to read about that. But in the meantime, Jehoiada took for him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. So now that there's more of the seed of the house of David, okay, going to start building that back up. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he ordered the Levites to do this. And here's the reason why in verse 7. For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. So any silver, gold, brass instruments, they took it out of the temple that Solomon had built, and they put it in this house of Baal that Athaliah had built, and they just wrecked the place. So the king, Joash, said, we have to fix it up. We have to repair it and restore everything. So they took a chest and they put a hole in it so that people can put money in it as they came in. And they put in a lot of money, and there was enough money to repair the whole temple and restore the instruments of silver and gold. And that was a very good thing that he did. Now, let's continue on here in verse 15. It says, but Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. So God bless him with a long life. And that whole time, Joash did well. He did that which was right in the sight of God. But eventually he died. Jehoiada died, 130 years old. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings. And you don't read that about high priests. But this guy, he rescued, and you know God was working in him to rescue the kingdom, to preserve the seed of David, to get rid of this wicked queen that was destroying the place. So they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king, who's now 47 years old. Then the king hearkened unto them, and this breaks my heart, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And the grove worship, you know, I told you that when you look up grove in the dictionary, it'll say a group of trees. In the Bible, it means something else, because it says that they put these groves under every green tree. It was a pole, it was a phallic symbol, and it was a place where they would have these sex rituals. And that's, again, why they were probably so popular among people that were into that sort of thing. But now Jehoiada is gone. All the princes, they're obviously going along because Jehoiada is there. But in their hearts, they're saying, we'd like to get back to some of this other stuff because it was a whole lot more fun. And they went to Joash and they convinced him to leave the house of the Lord God of their fathers and to make these groves and idols and serve them. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, back to Jehovah. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest's son. So he has the Spirit of God upon him. He's going to prophesy, which stood above the people. And he said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. They stoned him with stones, and it was at the commandment of the king. And this is Jehoiada's son. And Jehoiada had been so good to him all along, and now he's commanding him to be stoned and killed because he's reproving them by God, and rightfully so. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria, the army of Syria, came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them to the king of Damascus. So these were all the princes that convinced Joash to turn away from God and to worship idols. They all got destroyed by this Syrian army. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. So God helped this little band of Syrians to attack the big army of Judah and wipe them out and kill all the princes that had caused all this damage. And when they were departed from him, from Joash, for they left him in great diseases, so apparently wounded and infected, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest. So apparently not only had that one son of Jehoiada killed, but the other sons of Jehoiada he had killed. And they slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. And these are they that conspired against him, and gives the names. In verse 27, now concerning his sons and the greatness of the burdens laid upon him and the repairing of the house of God, behold, they are written in the story of the book of the kings, and Amaziah his son reigned in his stead. And we'll read about Amaziah and the other kings of Judah next week. But what drama that went on there during that time. And it seemed so unnecessary, but that's the way it happened. But you ask, in light of the kingdom of God, was the will of God being done on earth? Well, for a short time in a small place, it's like on and off. But do you see the will of God being done everywhere, by everybody, all the time? You don't see that since the fall of Adam. And even in a place that this is God's people, men ordained and anointed by God to be king, that have the written word of God, that have examples of them that did it right, like David, but they have free will. And the will of God is going to be done upon the earth when God's will is made known by his word, okay? Then his word has to be read or heard, has to be understood. And then people need to make the decision to believe it and make the decision to do it and then remember to do it and then actually do it and then continue to do it, you see? That's what it takes for the will of God to be done on earth. And so far, we've seen it done in such a limited fashion by so few people that it just makes you look forward to the time when everybody on the earth is doing the will of God all the time. And that day is coming. That day is coming, but it's still a while to get there. And we have a lot of things to go through along the way, but we're going to get there, and what a great time that's going to be. But that's all for tonight, my friends. God bless each one of you.